Today I'm chatting with Darby Lewis. She's a ceramic artist here in Cookeville. Are you still a student at the Appalachian Center for Craft?
Yes. I technically graduated last fall, but I've returned as a fibers student.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. So you're going to incorporate the ceramics with the fibers?
Yes.
Ooh, that's so fancy. All right. So when did you take an interest in ceramics?
I think the first time I touched ceramics was probably in fifth grade at a summer camp, but then I didn't touch it again until my senior year of high school.
Oh.
So, and that's when I decided I wanted to be an art teacher and with a focus in ceramics, but then through college that's progressed into just being a ceramic artist.
Yeah, because you can totally do that.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we were like once believed that we had to like, we couldn't just be an artist. We had to teach it in order to survive.
Yeah.
But I don't think that is, that's not true anymore.
No.
Because we have the internet and, you know, people can find us. And that's how I found you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people are always looking for that. So what made you choose ceramics?
I think it was the art medium initially that I'd had the most experience with. I guess I hadn't had a lot of experience with different art mediums, but when I thought about what I wanted to do going forward, and this was back in high school, you know, I was like, oh, well, pottery sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like something I can make a future out of. And that's where, in searching for, I think it was summer camps, I found the Appalachian Center for Craft and saw they had a ceramics program and just kind of fell in love from there. And now I do sculpture.
That's, and your stuff's really amazing. It's super duper intricate.
Yes.
Wow.
A lot of small details.
Lots of details. Why so many details?
It's therapeutic for me. Mm-hmm. I like working with repetition and multiples and just kind of doing the same little task over and over again helps me, you know, kind of process things in my own head. Mm-hmm. A lot of my work revolves around mental illness. And part of that is not only having a finished piece discuss mental illness, but the process of the piece helps me through my own mental illness.
I gotcha. So when you are creating the piece, are you processing what's going on internally, or are you able to take a break from it?
A little bit of both, okay. I think. A lot of the repetition comes from helping process anxiety, but also taking a break from those constant thoughts and just that kind of never-ending noise in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to work with my hands really helps me to zone out those inner thoughts, but still process them in a way, just through a more tactile way.
So would you say that it's meditative?
Yes.
What you're doing?
Very much.
So meditation is very, you know, I'm sure you know, it's very healing for the brain. Mm-hmm. It actually can change like the brain chemistry. And so I get what you're saying. You are processing those thoughts because by stopping them and clearing them, you're actually giving your brain time to rejuvenate and get back to a state of wholeness.
Yes.
Yeah. So did you come up with your own style or were you inspired by somebody and then you made it your own?
Well, so one of the artists I'm really inspired by is an artist named Fenella Elms. And she also works with repetitive details. But I essentially, I was like, well, I love the repetitiveness, the details. I love the movement that her pieces have when you look at them. And I decided to work towards combining that with my love for large hand-built like ceramic vessels. And that's just kind of how my pieces came to be, was this large-scale work of detail and movement.
Yes, your pieces definitely have movement.
Yes.
Yeah. Now that you say that and I'm visualizing them, they do. They look like they're moving.
Yes.
They're really, really incredible. And what are the pieces that you do create?
So for a while I was making those large scale vessels with the detail, and I've actually recently, as in like the past couple weeks, shifted my direction towards more of a mixed media, smaller scale work, working with like extruded coils and fibers, weaving and strings and stuff.
Are your pieces mainly functional or sculptural?
Very much sculptural.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, very much
That's
sculptural.
That's what I thought. Okay. More of our conversation with Darby Lewis coming up on the scene. I'm chatting with Darby Lewis. She's a ceramic artist here in Cookeville, Tennessee. She's also a student at the Appalachian Center for Craft. Darby, I saw a piece on your site. Looked like a honeycomb. Yeah, that's really, really cool. How'd you come up with the idea for that?
I think the idea initially started with some inspiration I had seen while I was visiting Chicago for the Big Sofa Exhibition. That's a really large art convention here in the U.S. And I'd seen these pieces that looked like painted eggshells, and I was really intrigued to try and figure out how to make that out of clay. And that was just kind of the inspiration that started the piece. And of course, I made a bunch of sketches to kind of get a shape down. And then it was entirely figuring out the technique. And what I ended up finding worked really well was I would take a cotton ball and I would dip it into casting slip, which is like liquid clay. And then I would take that clay-covered cotton ball and stick it to a coil pot. And that was just the repetition of take a cotton ball, dip it in the clay, and stick it to the piece. And once the piece was fired in the kiln, all that cotton burned away and left these little eggshell-shaped holes. And
so it looks like a honeycomb. So that wasn't intentional. You weren't like, I'm going to create something that looks like bees go where they go?
No. Honeycomb was not an inspiration. It was more of the fragility of the piece and being very delicate. And that piece you can break with your hands. Uh-huh. It's so delicate.
Ooh.
But it was entirely just based off just being very fragile and that sense of vulnerable to external forces.
Ooh, that's a good selling point. It is. I feel like your art, you know, a lot of people can relate with that, what you just said, you know,
that's
amazing. So how do you create a piece? Do you sketch it out first?
Yes, I'll sketch out generally like a bunch of ideas, and then I'll start like researching similar artists who've done very similar things, or you know, maybe I have a different source of inspiration than an artist. Maybe I'm looking at nature, but I do a lot of research, and then I start developing those sketches further, and then I go into the clay studio and I start working with clay.
How long does it take you to create a piece generally? I know some are longer than others.
Yeah, it really depends on the piece, but I would say for a lot of my sculptures that are in my thesis exhibition, I mean, they probably took close to 2 months per sculpture.
Wow.
I had a wall hanging I made that pretty much led to all of my work in thesis, but this original wall hanging, it's called In My Head, it took 106 hours to make from start to finish.
I saw that one. I'm pretty sure I did. You posted it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It won the Dean's Purchase Award here at Tennessee Tech.
Well, it was worth it.
Oh, well worth it.
That's amazing. So how'd you create that piece?
That piece started, so that was the initial piece that was inspired by Fenella Elms. And it started with, it was a class project where we had to make a wall hanging. So I essentially made a very large slab. It was about 2 feet by 3 feet, and I cut it into tiles, and then I slowly, by hand, made each coil, flattened the coil, and cut it and added it to the sculpture. And once it was bisque fired, I then sprayed it down with an oxide wash. It was an iron oxide, and wiped off the excess, fired it again, and attached it to a base to hang.
Wow. Would you say that you have your own personal style? Like, are you different from most of the students at Tech? I think you are. I mean, they're all unique. I'm not going to take...
Everyone is definitely unique there. I think there's no two people are quite the same.
But your stuff, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, well, I think looking back at some of the alumni work, there are definitely alumni that work large scale or more sculptural or abstract. I think I was just the only one in my group of students that was going in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, it's really, really beautiful.
Well, thank you.
That's really good stuff. More of our conversation with Darby Lewis coming up on The Scene. I'm chatting with Darby Lewis. She's a ceramic artist here in Cookeville, Tennessee. She's also a student at the Appalachian Center for Craft. And you went back for fibers.
Yes.
And how are you going to incorporate the fibers into the ceramics?
So right now, I actually just finished my first piece incorporating fibers into ceramics. And it has to do with like bonds between people. So I'd made a bunch of clay chain links and connected them by tying string almost down the back like a spine. And it has to do with human bonds and like the connections we have to people that you can't see on, well, I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, but I don't know that someone. And just that long invisible line that connects people together.
Is this a positive or a negative? Curious. Or is it both?
I think it could be a bit of both. I think looking at the piece, it's very neutral in the sense of it's not something super positive. It's not something super negative. A lot of my thesis show has to deal with the more negatives of mental illness, with one large piece being the positive.
Hmm. When you did that thesis and you were, so you're saying that it was coming from negative emotions, when you are creating those pieces, are you in a, do you find that creating those pieces pulls you into that negative space that maybe you don't want to particularly be in?
Not necessarily. I think it helps me process those negative feelings. I have one piece that specifically is about just kind of that nonstop thoughts, just the brain that can never seem to be quiet. And all those little details really helped me to quiet my brain on those nonstop thoughts. But you look at the piece and you're like, oh yeah, I can see where, you know, if all these strands are thoughts, they really just don't stop. There's one after the other and they overlap. So I think they don't necessarily take me back into that bad place. They help me really think about, okay, why am I here in that bad place? And why am I having those thoughts? And how can I move forward from that?
Oh, that's so healthy. It's not like being on autopilot and you're just thinking the thoughts and you're believing every single thought that you have. So many of your thoughts are lies.
Yeah, so many of them. You have to really sit and sift through a lot of those thoughts.
Yeah. And, you know, we get to choose what we want to believe. And we don't have to believe a thought is not a fact.
Yes.
You don't have to believe it just because it's there. It could be something that you picked up in childhood and you're not even aware of why you think or believe that. And
yeah.
So it takes that awareness to come in and say, that's not true. I don't believe that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, I find when I paint, it slows like everything. It's like there's a wheel constantly turning, and when I go and paint, it just stops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just paint.
Yeah, it's nice to have that ability to slow things down because it can really help you gain some clarity on what's going on and what's going through your mind.
Yes, instead of just sitting there and think, believe all of this. No, when you stop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I do. If anything upsets me, I usually will just stop and just sit. And let it kind of just like a storm clouds that just need to pass. And that's how I look at it. So you have an artist that inspires you. Do you, when you're looking for inspiration, are you looking online? Are you looking at nature? What do you do?
I think I start with looking online. I'm very involved with the mental illness side of the internet and. Whether that's for the good or the bad, I can really see how people process mental illness in different ways and what kind of tangible things they connect to mental illness. So like a lot of, with depression, you see a lot of symbolism in darkness and being alone and just a lot of like, if you look at figurative, they're very crouched and just being on the internet and seeing what people connect different mental illnesses to, and then helping that, you know, go forward with my artwork on, okay, well, I associate, you know, this one mental illness thing with this type of, you know, maybe sharp, jagged adjectives, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Do other people associate the same mental illness with the same adjectives, or do they see it differently?
I gotcha. I wish we had more time because you're super interesting. I love this.
Thank you.
Where can people find your work?
So I do have an Instagram at Colorful Clay, spelled with all U's.
Okay.
And then I also have a website, which is darbyllewis.com. And on my website, I go through all the processes and details behind each piece. So if you want to know more about a piece, there's a whole page detailing the process behind it.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Darby. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
All right.